Hi guys, welcome to part two of the first lesson, first hour of training podcast that I did yesterday. I've had a little bit of backlash about it, so I just want to clarify a couple of issues. The thing is that aggression is important. Now, I'm not saying that when we're doing these drills that we should be kind of totally calm or like almost zombified. I'm not looking to turn people into robots. We have to be able to use our aggression and use our passion and use our drive and determination. And all these are important physiological factors and emotional factors and part of one of the things that's going to give you the most enjoyment. Aggression is important, okay, but it, more importantly, is directed aggression. The thing is that aggression mixed with knowing what to do is more successful than using blind rage. It's like kind of running a martial arts gym. We have people coming in every now and again, not all the time, every now and again, that claim to be kind of street fighters and people. Or we have people that when we start talking to them about coming down to the gym, they say, oh, well, my rage is too bad that people won't be able to handle me and stuff like that. And this is what kind of makes us laugh, because it's like, without the direction, without the technique, all the blind rage in the world isn't going to do anything, because your body isn't programmed to do any specific act. This is why, for instance, when people watch boxing on TV, they may be able to observe it and be a spectator boxing, but because they haven't coached their body or laid down the myelin through their system, they haven't coached their body in how to react correctly in order to throw a proper punch. So you might get someone that's watched loads and loads of boxing videos and boxing fights and stuff like that. But then they get into a bit of a fight in town, and all of a sudden they start windmilling. Okay, this windmilling is a proponent of this blind rage. Okay, so we have to know what to do. We have to know how our body has to move with no emotion. We take the emotion out of it. We program our body, and it's like programming a computer. One of the best things to do when we're programming a computer is to use the least amount of force possible. So then you have to ultimately rely on the technique, and then you learn how to put your body in the right position. You get the right kinetic linking through your body, and then you can add performance factors to that. Now this is kind of easier seen in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. There's almost like an inquisitive curiosity that's going on. When someone starts pulling off a new move or starts doing something a little bit different, you know that, yes, okay, the opportunity to tap is always there. However, you're curious about what's going to happen, and then you wait until it hurts until you tap. Now that's how. That's how you learn the sequence. Now, if you've got a coach, then the coach will be able to break down the specific steps. If you haven't got a coach, then you have to go through a number of these painful experiences to work out the steps. So you see the step before the pain happens, and then you start to see two steps before the pain happens, then three steps, then four, then five. And so it's like, once you understand this sequence, then you can go, right, this is what I have to do in order to start off. This is where I need to like move up the body and start isolating the shoulder joint before they start doing the technique. Before I start pivoting on my partner's chest and swinging my leg over the top before I get the armbar. Okay, but everyone kind of recognizes the point at where the arm is about to snap, but it's only at the point when people are kind of spinning around and you start recognising the position, that people go, oh, he's going for an armbar. So what is it, like, what's the step before the spinning around, which means that he's going to go for an armbar? Okay, so hopefully I'm explaining this correctly, and hopefully I'm explaining it well enough for you to understand this kind of this sequence of thing that's happening. Now, I learned how to do this. I learned the old style. I learned just come in, start smacking pads as hard as I can, and then learning through trial and error to make these subtle adjustments. These small subtle adjustments are harder to adjust when you've already taught yourself how to do it wrong in the first place. So, and it takes a long time to change those habits if you've already learnt one way. So this is why I say it's important to learn how to put your body in the right position first before adding these performance factors. I hope this kind of clarifies some of the issues and some of the messages, because people have come back to us and says, oh, well, I just like smacking pads. I just like hitting things hard. Well, oh, well and good. But if you're not hitting it correctly, then you're going to either injure yourself, or you could do it more efficiently, or you're taking the long way in learning how to do the technique properly. This is, like I said, this is one of the things. We're applying cutting-edge sports science into grassroots martial arts. This is what gives people the cutting-edge advantage when they're very first starting out. This is why our guys learn really quickly. We've had people come down to our gym, and because of the way that we communicate and break it down, they say that like in two or three, they've learned more in 2 or 3 weeks training with us than they have done 2 years training at other places, because we break it down, because we give the teaching points, because we take that emotion out of it, and we don't just say that everything has to be harder and hitting harder all the time and just looking for pure power. Pure power will come once you're using technique. Technique and speed equals power. So then you don't need the additional tension of trying to put power there. I was having this conversation the other day with one of the guys, and like trying to put too much power into it made him very robotic. I was saying that like when I was fighting, the times when I've tried to knock people out are times when I haven't knocked people out, because I've been too tense, I've been searching for it too much and been too rigid. The times when I haven't been trying to knock people out, that's when it's happened, because I've been using pure technique and it's pure fluidity. So taking that little gem of experience, this is how we can apply it. This is how we can use the least amount of force, the maximum amount of technique, and we'll learn how to coordinate ourselves more effectively. I can't remember whether I mentioned it on the first part of this podcast, but we went into to the boxing class at school on Tuesday, and I wanted to gauge where the emphasis of the class was. So I asked the guys, right, who wants to learn boxing? Who wants to just come in for a scrap? Who's here for a bit of a fitness workout? The majority of people put their hands up to learn how to box, learn the art form of boxing. A couple of the rugby lads says, oh, I just want to come in here for a scrap. I was like, all right, okay, well, you can have a bit of a break, go down to the gym, work on your fitness, do some sprint training, leave it a couple of weeks, and then you can come back. You can, and then the guys that want to brawl, the guys that just want to have a scrap, can spar against the guys that have been learning a bit of technique, and then we'll see who wins. Now I did this last year, and the guys that had learned the technique ended up winning the boxing matches. It doesn't take rocket science to understand that. but this is the kind of application of being able to use these techniques and use the coaching more effectively. So there's a there's a time and a place for the aggression, there's a time and a place for the emotion, but what we're looking to do is direct it. We're looking to program your body more efficiently. So I hope that this kind of brings a little bit more clarity to the point that I was making, that your opponent is an illusion. Your opponent is someone that's there to distract you from trying to hit them, as opposed to putting your body in the right position and using the technique effectively. This is what I meant when I said that we're looking to be the best that you can be, not just looking to win. Okay, winning is a byproduct of doing the things that we're doing. It's the thinking behind the thinking. It's the smartness of how elite athletes learn. And it is what it is. This is why we're using this cutting edge sports science, and we're doing it productively. Okay, so I hope that clarifies a few of the issues, and you've enjoyed this little breakdown into the kind of sports science side of things, and the way that we teach. All right, cheers guys, thanks a lot, speak to you soon.